everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on intestinal parasites when we come back. You know, once in a while we get a glimpse of the real world through the eyes of an insider like John Swinton, for instance. He was the former editor of the New York Tribune. He said, "There's no such thing at this date of world's history in America as an independent press. You know it and I know it," he said. "And there's not one of you who dares to write your honest opinions, and if you did, you know beforehand that it would never appear in print. Now, I'm paid weekly for keeping my honest opinions out of the paper that I'm connected with, and others of you are paid similar salaries for doing similar things, and any one of you who would be so foolish as to write his honest opinions would be out on the streets looking for another job. If I allowed my honest opinions to appear in one issue of my paper before 24 hours, my occupation would be gone." The business of the journalist is to destroy the truth, to lie outright, to pervert, to vilify, to fawn at the feet of mammon, and to sell his country and his race for his daily bread. You know it, and I know it. And what folly is this toasting an independent press? We are the tools and vassals of rich men behind the scenes. We're the jumping jacks. They pull the strings and we dance. Our talents, our possibilities, and our lives are all the property of other men. We are intellectual prostitutes. Now, these rich men behind the scenes are the movers and the shakers of the Global 2000 program and the New World Order. The men and families like the Windsors and the Rockefellers, Bushes, Bundys, Carnegies, and Vanderbilts. That's why I contend that it's time that we wise up and start listening more to the God of Abraham and stop following after all these crazy scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians. And let's prepare to live through and survive this new world order and Global 2000 insanity. Now, if you'd like to learn more about Global 2000 and Bible prophecy with this new world order, why don't you call and order my free 4-hour compact disc package. It's educational, entertaining, informative. Best of all, it's free. You can call and order yours right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to the website, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and send an email request for that free general law CD package. Why don't you do it right now before you forget? Remember, georgegordon.org. Or call direct 417-273-4967. Well, a parasite is an organism that lives off of and generally within a host body. And this can include your body. Or the body of an animal, such as your pet. Parasites live off of the life of another body. They feed on the nutrients, the cells, and the organs of their host. Parasites can reproduce by the thousands. They deposit thousands of eggs or simply replicate by cell division. They replicate by cell division within their host's tissues and within the host's cells. Estimates are that up to 85% of the entire human population on planet Earth is infected with parasites. 50% of the people of the United States are infected. Parasites are often mobile. They move to feed off of one area of the body, and then they move on to another area of your body. And they can eat the host's cells directly. Or they can drain the best of the nutrients directly from the host's tissues. Remember, if you are inhabited by parasites, we're not talking about some other host, but we're talking about you. parasites, worms, in your body. Now, after eating, the parasite then excretes its fecal wastes throughout your body, through the host's body, leaving a poisonous ammonia-like substance for your host's body to deal with. Parasites are not friendly little fellers, and they are not well-mannered guests either. Most parasitic infections come from our food and water sources, but they can also be transmitted by human or animal contact. Simply petting and grooming your dog or cat can facilitate infection. The parasite's eggs passing from their fur to your hands, your nose, and your mouth. Some parasites, for example, pinworms, can even be transmitted through the air, and they're in the dust that we breathe. It's likely, therefore, that those who live in the same household will all have the very same parasitic infections. Whether they're currently symptomatic or not, they still have worms. People are infected by parasites through water sources or through our food, and especially if the people who handle our foods at restaurants are themselves infected. We can be infected through our pets and even through our infected children. And nearly all children are infected with parasites. Children are the most easily infected. Now, if one person in a household is infected, then chances are everyone else in that household will be infected also, and everyone in that household must be treated together to eradicate the parasites from that household. Parasites are often mobile. Parasites graze in one area of your body, and then they go on and graze like cattle in another area of your body, eating the host cells directly or draining the best of the nutrients in your body directly from your cells and tissues. All the while, they secrete their fecal waste throughout your body, leaving a poisonous sludge, further taxing the host's system and abilities even more gravely. Parasites likely infect everyone. It's estimated that as many as 85% of the world's population is so inflicted. And in fact, it's highly likely that you're infected by one or more of over 1,000 known parasites which can live in your body at any given time. There are over 1,000 known parasites that can infect human hosts, and medical tests can detect only about 50 of them at this time. And unless your physician has been trained in or has worked in some third world country, he or she probably does not consider the possibility of parasites as causing illness in his or her community. So let's take a look at worms, parasites in your body. Now, there are possible signs and symptoms of internal parasites in your body. Here are what those symptoms, most often referred to, look like. Do you feel tired most of the time? It's called chronic fatigue syndrome. Do you have digestive problems such as gas, bloating, constipation, or diarrhea that come and go but never really clear up? Do you have gastrointestinal symptoms and bulky stools with excess fat in your feces? Do you suffer with food sensitivities and environmental intolerance? Or do you develop allergic-like reactions and you can't understand why? Do you have joint and muscle pain and inflammation, which we often assume to be arthritis? Do you suffer with anemia or iron deficiency? Do you have hives, rashes, weeping eczema, cutaneous ulcers, swelling, sores, papular lesions, itchy dermatitis? Or do you suffer with restlessness and anxiety? Do you experience multiple awakenings during the night, particularly between 2 and 3 a.m.? Do you grind your teeth? Do you have excessive amount of bacteria or viral infections? Are you depressed? Do you have difficulty gaining or losing weight no matter what you do? Did a candida program, which either didn't help at all or helped somewhat, but you still can't stay away from bread, alcohol, fruit, or fruit juices? Can it be that you just can't figure out why you don't feel really great and neither can your doctor? Do you have itchy ears, itchy nose, or an itchy anus? How about forgetfulness, slow reflexes, gas and bloating, and unclear thinking? Do you have loss of appetite, a yellowish face, a fast heartbeat, heart pain, pain in your navel? Are you eating more than normal but still feel hungry? Do you have pain in the back, your thighs, or your shoulders? Are you lethargic? Do you have numbness in your hands or a burning sensation in your stomach? Do you drool while you sleep? Damp lips at night, dry lips during the day, grinding teeth while you're asleep. How about bedwetting? Women problems with the menstrual cycle, and men, sexual dysfunction. Now, these are only possible symptoms, and please keep in mind that not everyone that has a few of these symptoms should automatically make the assumption that you're infected with worms. However, if you suspect infection or have been unsuccessfully treated for any of the above problems, it is worth doing some specific parasite control. Now, the roundworm must be about the most ubiquitous parasite of humans, with an estimated 1 billion people, or about one person out of every 6 worldwide, infected with roundworms. In some communities, infectious rates reach 100%. And that's not just in Mexico or in Africa or Asia. That's right here in the United States, Canada, Australia, New Zealand. And these large worms, often up to 30 centimeters in length, inhabit the intestinal lumen. Each female worm produces about 200,000 eggs per day. That's right, 200,000 eggs a day, with an estimated total of 27 million eggs during the lifespan of one roundworm. The eggs are highly resistant to adverse environmental conditions, which contributes to its widespread distribution worldwide. An extraordinary variety of viruses, bacteria, and parasites stand ready to attack us and to feed off of our body cells. Using microscopes of varying power, photographers show us a teeming microbial world that we could barely imagine without the help of the microscope. The approximate sizes of microbes can be approximated by using the following rule of thumb. Viruses are the smallest of all of the infectious agents. They average about 100 nanometers. That's about 100 billionth of a meter in length. So if you took a meter, which is about a yard, just picture a yardstick, divided into 100 billion parts, and one of those equals one virus. They have so few genes and proteins of their own that in order to reproduce, they need to commandeer the machinery of your cells that they invade. Bacteria vary widely in shape and in size, but they tend to be at least 10 times larger than viruses, or at least 1 micrometer, that's 1 millionth of a meter long. They are single-cell organisms that reproduce independently. Then there are single-cell parasites, and they tend to be at least 10 times larger than bacteria, or about 1/10 millimeter long. That is 0.01 millimeter long. Multicellular parasites are the next in the line, and they're so large that they can usually be seen with the naked eye. Tapeworms, for instance, can reach a length of 6 meters. That's 20 feet long. Imagine a 20-foot-long worm working in your stomach and intestines. Food and water are the most common sources of parasite transmission. Since most of us eat 3 times a day, and we drink water frequently throughout the day, our exposure to these sources is constant. Tap water has been found to be contaminated with parasitic organisms. Now, both plant and animal foods carry parasites, and cleaning and cooking methods often do not destroy parasites before you eat them. The Center for Disease Control cites food as the catalyst behind 80% of the pathogenic outbreaks in the United States. The little brown men who are working in the lettuce fields don't always wash their hands after they go potty, boys and girls, and vegetarians are not immune from parasite and worm infestation. Most are linked to restaurants and delicatessens where less than sanitary conditions exist. This comes from food preparation and storage to the utensils in servers' hands, the people that work in these restaurants. Oftentimes, spread worms and intestinal parasites from their touching or handling of food. Animals, just like humans, can become infected with parasites. Internally contaminated water and food can spread the problem to our pets. Externally, animals become infected by parasites on their bodies, especially on their fur, because of exposure to infected animal wastes. Now, forgetting to wash your hands even one time after handling or cleaning up after your animal can transmit the parasite to you. Pets are a wonderful part of our lives, parasites and all. And they provide comfort, companionship, protection, amusement, and unconditional love for their owners. But always remember that your pet, your dog, your cat, just like humans, are often victims of serious infections that can unintentionally be passed on to you, the owner of the cat or the dog. In fact, there is a whole set of diseases classified as zoonoses. These are called animal-transmitted diseases in parasitology textbooks. Animals are a major carrier of parasites, and most physicians, let alone the general public, are totally unaware of this fact. Now, experts have projected that of the 110 million pet dogs and cats here in the United States, more than half of them will be infected with at least one or more different kinds of parasites. Now, when you consider these staggering numbers, the potential for transmission of parasitic infection from animals to humans is very, very high. The Center for Disease Control estimates that the number of parasites present in the United States number in the thousands, and these parasites are biochemically complex creatures in their life histories, in their development, in their reproductive cycles, nutritional requirements, and disease manifestations. They are categorized according to structure, shape, function, and reproductive ability. These include microscopic organisms. We call those protozoa. Roundworms, pinworms, and hookworms are called Nematoda. Tapeworms are called cestoda, and flukes, trematoda. Now, the protozoa make up approximately 70% of all of the parasites. Protozoa are invisible to the naked eye. They are one-celled microscopic organisms, but don't let their little size fool you. Certain protozoans, though, through their intensely rapid reproductive ability, can take over the intestinal tract of the host, and from there, they can go on to other organs and tissues. And some of them feed on red blood cells. Some protozoa produced cysts, closed sacs in which they may be safely transported through food and water from one person to another. In this cyst state, protozoans are safe from destruction by human digestive juices. These one-celled vampires can actually destroy the tissues of their hosts, and according to experts, an estimated 7 million people across the United States have some form of protozoa living inside of them. Now, the common protozoa include the Indolomax nana, Giardia lamblia, the list goes on. There's a list here of probably 15 or 20 with big 3, 4, 5 syllable words in Latin that nobody would recognize, even if I could pronounce them. Then we come to the nematodes. Now, while the protozoans are only single-celled, the nematode creatures are multicellular. The adult worms multiply by producing eggs called ova or larvae. The eggs usually become infectious in soil or in an intermediate host before humans are infected. Now, it's interesting to note that unless the worm infection is heavy, many individuals do not show signs of disease. While it may be unpleasant to consider, it is true that the human host can coexist very comfortably with just a few worms working inside of your body, unless they reproduce in such great numbers that they create organ obstruction. Experts claim that some type of worm is already in the intestines of over 75% of the world's population. That's a frightening statement. Common nematodes include roundworms, hookworms, pinworms, heartworms, trichinella, filaria, and aniscane larvae, aniscane larvae. Then we have a critter called the Cestoda, C-E-S-T-O-D-A. Among the oldest known parasites, tapeworms are considered humanity's largest intestinal inhabitant. They each have a scolex, that is a head, that attaches to your intestinal wall. As long as the head remains attached to the intestinal mucosa, a new worm can grow from just the head, holding on to the intestinal wall. Tapeworms do not contain digestive tracts, but they get their nourishment by absorbing the partially digested substances from their hosts. They are whitish in color, flat, and ribbon-like, with a covering that is transparent, skin-like layer. The common cestoda include the beef tapeworm, the pork tapeworm, and the fish tapeworm, and then to a lesser degree, a little critter called the dog tapeworm. Trematodes. A trematode is a leaf-shaped flatworm, also known as a fluke. They are parasitic during nearly all of their life cycle forms. The cycle begins when the larvae are released into fresh water by infected snails. The free-swimming larvae can then directly penetrate the skin of humans, a human host, or they can be ingested after insisting in or on various edible vegetation, or fish, or even crustaceans. The common trematodes include the intestinal fluke, blood fluke, liver fluke, oriental lung fluke, and the sheep liver fluke. If you did not catch the names of some of these odd creatures that we call intestinal parasites, don't let that bother you. There's a cure for these parasites. There's a methodology for cleaning your body. I thought I would share this with you because when I was a kid, my granny, I was raised by my grandmother, grandparents. My granny, every so often, I don't know how often, I was just a little kid, but about every 3, 4, 5 months, something like that, she would go through all of us and she would worm us. And it wasn't just my granny, it was Mrs. Birchfield and Mrs. Johnson and the Mitchells and the Mitchell kids. You see, back in the 1930s and 40s and even into the 50s, people were aware of the fact that you develop intestinal parasites. We didn't know anything about Alzheimer's disease or muscular dystrophy, Lou Gehrig's disease, and arthritis and rheumatism and these various degenerative diseases that are so common today. Never heard of most of them. But we did know about worms. We did know about intestinal parasites. And at the very beginning of the program, I went through a list of symptoms that people have very commonly. And the causes of these symptoms aren't some bacteria or degenerative poison or cancer or stroke or heart attack or something. It's something as simple as being infected with parasites. Now, the reason that parasites are so common today around the world is because the world does not live in the same way that it did 100 years ago. I think we're dumber today than we were 100 years ago. At least we're a whole lot less conscious of the common sense health regimens that we used 100 years ago. For instance, when I was a youngster, it was a no-no to drink after somebody else. It was a no-no to go potty without washing your hands. There were a lot of no-nos, like you never drink out of a public water fountain. Never put your mouth on the faucet itself. And we were very conscious about who we shook hands with, or who we were around, or who we were close to, so that we didn't catch somebody else's disease. We were always concerned about somebody else having a cold, or the flu, or TB, or some parasite or something else. And people, while they didn't bathe as often, didn't have the conveniences, didn't have the antiseptics, didn't have the medical know-how that we have today, lived healthier, longer lives without disease. For instance, at the turn of the century, cancer was practically unheard of, and so was heart attacks and disease. Nobody had invented AIDS yet, or Alzheimer's disease. Those hadn't come to the fore. Most of the diseases that you hear about so commonly today have come about in the last 100 years. What causes arthritis and rheumatoid arthritis? Worms, parasites in your joints. And these worms don't just live in your intestinal tract, they live in your eyeballs. They live in your brain. They live in your liver. They live in your cells. They're in your arms and your legs. They cause cramps. They cause all kinds of symptoms that we go to the doctors and take antibiotics. And the antibiotics and all of the medicines and all of the potions that the doctors give us don't solve our problems. But we keep taking the pills and the medicines, not knowing that the real problem is a little parasite somewhere in your body that is eating off of you and giving you these symptoms that I covered here at the beginning of the program. Now, you and I know that there's much above this spot on the webpage. I'm taking this off of a website. I'm going to give you the name of the website here, if I can get it down here at the bottom. It's www.flora-source-probiotic, probiotic.com. Let me give you that again. www.flora-source-probiotic.com. And that last word is spelled probiotic. 9-page report. Kind of simple, straightforward, easy to read. Tells you a little bit about the introduction to these things called parasites and gives you the list of symptoms that you'll probably be suffering. And if you're suffering from any of these symptoms, I'll give them to you here after the break. Again, you probably are not suffering from some exotic disease or bacterial infection. You're probably suffering from worms, intestinal parasites. Hang on. We've got to take our mid-program break, and we'll be right back with more on worms or intestinal parasites when we come back. Now, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. And for more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, the Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, just go to the homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and that can be accessed through the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, just call the Law School direct at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or staff of this network or local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, just go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, or call the Law School direct at 417-273-4967. One time I was over at a friend's house, and he had a big black cat. And the big black cat was sitting on the couch, and the big black cat had worms crawling in and out of its anus. Quite a sight. They don't come all the way out. They just come out about a half an inch or so. You can see these white worms sticking out of the cat's anus, and then they go back in. And that tells you pretty easily that that cat has worms. Now, that cat is on the couch, and on the couch there are going to be worms. And those worms, while you may not see them, their eggs are going to be on the couch, and they're going to get on your clothes. And then they're going to get on your hands, and then they're going to get in your nose, and in your eyes, and in your mouth, and in your food, and everything else. Having worms is shocking. It's almost politically incorrect, but you might as well face up to the reality that probably everybody in the world has worms at some point in his life, at some time or another. And to make sure that the worms are kept under control, your immune system is designed to control the parasites. Believe it or not, God himself, dumb as he is, God himself designed into your immune system the mechanism by which your body rids itself of these parasites. However, when you don't get enough food, or when your body becomes toxic, or when you run down your immune system, this is called immunodeficiency. When your immune system is deficient, then your immune system doesn't rid itself of the parasites, and the parasites multiply, and the multiplicity of the parasites cause symptoms, symptoms like these. Pay attention now, boys and girls, here we go again. If you have that tired feeling most of the time, it's called chronic fatigue syndrome. Well, if you've been diagnosed with chronic fatigue syndrome, you have worms. And if you get rid of the worms, which are causing the chronic fatigue, in other words, the lack of energy is the lack of nutrition. You're not getting enough food. The parasites are eating your food. So your body isn't getting enough food, and so you're tired. Get rid of the parasites so that your body can assimilate the food to nourish your cells, and your strength will return. If you have digestive problems like gas, bloating, constipation, or diarrhea that come and go but never really clear up, you probably have worms. If you have gastrointestinal symptoms and bulky stools with excess fat in the feces, that's probably worms. If you suffer with food sensitivities and environmental intolerance, you probably have worms. If you've developed allergic-like reactions and you can't understand why, or if you have joint muscle pains and inflammation, which is often assumed to be arthritis, you probably have worms. If you suffer with anemia, also known as iron deficiency, you probably have worms. And the worms are eating up the iron. Your body isn't getting the iron that it needs because the worms are intercepting it and feeding off of it. If you have hives, rashes, weeping eczema, cutaneous ulcers, I guess that's cutaneous ulcers, swelling, sores, papular lesions, itchy dermatitis, you probably have worms. If you suffer with restlessness or anxiety, that's worms. If you experience multiple awakenings during the night, particularly between 2 and 3 a.m., or if you grind your teeth, or if you have an excessive amount of bacterial or viral infections, you probably have worms. If you're depressed, or if you have difficulty gaining or losing weight no matter what you do, or did the Candida program, which either didn't help or helped you a little bit, but you still can't stay away from bread, alcohol, fruit, or fruit juices. Notice these are all sugars. It's carbohydrates, and you just crave fruit juice, or bread or alcohol. You probably have worms. If you just can't figure out why you don't feel really great, and neither can your doctor, or if you have itching ears, you have an itching nose, or an itching anus, you probably have worms. If you're forgetful, have slow reflexes, gas or bloating, and unclear thinking, you're probably suffering from worms. If you have a yellowish face, or if you have a loss of appetite, a fast heartbeat, heart pain, or pain in your navel. If you're eating more than normal but you still feel hungry, you probably have a tapeworm. If you have pain in your back, thighs, or shoulders, if you're lethargic, or if you have numbness in your hands, you probably have worms. If you're suffering from a burning sensation in your stomach, if you drool while you sleep, if you have damp lips at night and dry lips during the day, or if you grind your teeth while you're asleep, or if you wet the bed, you're probably suffering from worms. And in women, problems with your menstrual cycle, or in men, sexual dysfunction. You probably have worms. And if you treat the worms instead of trying to treat your sexual dysfunction with Viagra, you'd probably get better results. Pharmaceutical companies and doctors do not seek to eliminate the cause of the disease. If they did that, there would be no repeat business. The trick, when you come into the doctor and you have a symptom, is to sell you a product, pills, surgery, hospitalization, services. That's where the money's at. To tell you how to eliminate disease, like stop smoking to eliminate lung cancer, stop eating fat to eliminate heart disease. You see, if we eliminated these diseases, our economy would collapse. 15% of the gross domestic product in the United States is directly attached to medicine. Medical care, hospitals and doctors, disease and symptoms, sickness and plague. 15% of the gross domestic product. Millions of people make their livings as nurses and doctors and hospital workers, and they work in these institutions, or there are construction companies building these institutions that house all of these medical facilities, so that they can treat these 450-some-odd diseases that we have, which a great bulk of them are simply caused by our bad living habits. Now, bad living habits also includes worms. If you have worms, then you ought to get rid of them. And if you think you don't have worms because you live in America or Canada and you take a bath or you shower 3 times a week and you eat only in good, clean, reputable restaurants, you may rest assured that you have worms. I say you can rest assured that you have worms because if you don't believe you have them, then you have never looked. Because if you looked, you would have found them. Now, if you go to the standard allopathic medical doctor, he probably won't find them because he doesn't look for them. You see, worms are relatively easy to get rid of, and if you get rid of the worms, you get rid of the disease and the symptoms, which then gets rid of the need to go to the doctor. Now, I've run across people that suffer from this thing that they call chronic fatigue syndrome, and they're on some kind of medication. Their real problem is that they're suffering from parasites. The parasites are taking the nutrients out of their food. These people are eating. Oftentimes, they are overweight or even obese. And if you're suffering from obesity, you can almost bet that you're suffering from worms because you're always hungry. And that's because the tapeworm in your stomach is constantly eating all of your food. He's living quite nicely, thank you, but you aren't. So you eat more. The more you eat, the fatter you get. You get the calories, and the tapeworm gets the iron, niacin, protein, and nutrients that your body needs. You then end up tired or depressed. You go to the doctor, and the doctor says, well, let me put you on this regimen, or let me put you on this diet, or let me put you on this drug, and let's see how that does. The doctor doesn't say, gee, let's start first with the fundamentals. Let's clear out your body. Let me put you on a worming medication. Let's eliminate the parasites. It could well be that your body is behind the curve, unable to keep up with all the parasites. Your immune system deals with the parasites in your body, but if you're not getting enough nutrition, then the parasites get ahead of your body's immune system capacity to rid itself of the parasites, so the parasites multiply. The parasites then make you weaker and weaker, and the parasites multiply, and your immune system is less and less effective at destroying or dealing with the parasites in your body. There is a point in time when your body will simply expire because it's unable to live any longer, feeding all the parasites. The parasites will ultimately kill its host. There's a limit to how many ticks, a limit to how many mosquitoes you can tolerate. I remember reading one time that in the Arctic, the reindeer lose 1 pint of blood a day to the mosquitoes. Think of that. Mosquitoes are parasites. They suck the blood out of their hosts. And, you know, a reindeer is a pretty good-sized animal, but a pint of blood a day? You know, I think if they took a pint of blood a day out of a human, they'd kill them. Well, parasites are doing the same thing to you that the mosquitoes are doing to the reindeer. It doesn't kill the reindeer, but it sure does stun them. It slows them down. It makes them lethargic also. So tuck it away in your heart. There's a methodology for dealing with these parasites. We'll cover that as we progress. How common are parasites? Most people are not aware of the danger to their health posed by parasites. Nevertheless, if you look in the right place, you can find a lot of literature on the subject of parasites and the harmful effects that they can produce. Well, over 80% of patients that we check have some type of parasite or bacteria and the slight inflammation of the abdomen and unrelated pains and aches which indicate the presence of parasites. For instance, in a pamphlet which was put out by medical manufacturers in America, we read, quote, colon therapy has an anthelminic action. This means parasites are removed. Colon therapy removes parasites. And we find that over 90% of the people that we examine in our clinics have some form of parasites. The most common of all are tapeworms. And our skilled technicians report seeing green, brown, gray, yellow, and white tapeworms and various combinations. Patients report seeing pieces of tapeworm in their toilet bowl. These tapeworms vary from a few inches to a few feet. The longest one that we've seen so far is 57 inches. Various other parasites are seen, including hookworms, pinworms, whipworms, and many other exotic forms. Tapeworms are usually beef, pork, or fish. Occasionally, we'll see a dog tapeworm, but primarily they're beef, pork, or fish tapeworms. Now, vegetarians also have various parasites. The eggs may be eaten with vegetables or fruit. Threadworms and hookworms may pass through the unbroken skin. You don't have to take those by eating. And they're sometimes picked up when you walk through the grass. In New Zealand, a large full-page advertisement for Cumbantrin, that's a commercial worm preparation, shows a small girl handing a pencil to a classmate, and the caption reads, quote, "The simple act of passing a pencil, sharing a book, using the same doorknob, or even sharing a house with untreated adults is all that is required for parasites to spread. And no matter how clean your child may be, and no matter how careful you are, the symptoms caused by parasites may include loss of appetite, anal and vulval itching and scratching, disturbed sleep, occasional bedwetting in younger children, and these may seem like common occurrences in childhood, but they're not just common occurrences. This is because the parasite problem is a very common problem, and especially among young children. We once told one of our patients that we thought her daily migraine headaches were caused by parasites in her intestines. She was not surprised by this, and she said that she had just returned from Europe, where she had taken her children to a doctor. The children had been restless, and they had indigestion. The doctor told her that he believed the children had pinworms, and it was the parasites which were causing these symptoms in her children. She told the doctor that she thought it was impossible for her children to have parasites, because she insisted on the highest standards of cleanliness and hygiene. She had not seen any sign of worms in her children's clothes or in their beds. But this European doctor insisted, and he told her that over 90% of people in that part of Europe had parasites of one kind or another. So she should not feel ashamed, nor should she be surprised that her children also had these parasites. Our diagnosis was correct, and when she took the herbs, her migraines and other aches soon disappeared. And yet this patient had been to a number of doctors. None of them had been able to do anything to relieve her headaches. In an interview recorded in a health publication, Dr. William Kelly, he's a famous cancer specialist, said this. He said, "I find parasites in 92% of the people that I treat. Everybody, whether they're rich or poor, the whole population is infected with parasites, and it is not restricted to lower classes at all. Pets are great carriers of parasites, and also vegetables may carry parasitic organisms." Now, one day I had a lady who was a little over 5 foot tall. She weighed 300 pounds. She was on a 500-calorie diet per day. She was literally starving herself to death. So I said to her, "You've got so many worms, all you're absorbing is the water. The worms are taking all of the nutrition." Well, this horrified this woman, and most people become very upset at just the thought of having worms. She started a bottle of special supplements that I gave to her, but nothing happened. So she went to her family doctor, who took a stool culture, but he couldn't find anything either. So the lady decided to finish the herbs by taking it regularly as directed. One night, she was lying in her bed, and she felt a tickling in her throat and thought that it was just mucus. So she went to the bathroom and she coughed it up. She put it in a Kleenex, turned on the light, and then she let out a scream that woke up her husband, and what they found in the tissue was the head and 2 inches of a tapeworm, which had come up in her throat. Now, lots of times, particularly in children, the tapeworm will come through the nose looking for some more to eat. Parasites mimic a lot of diseases. They mimic diseases like heart trouble. I once found this in a nurse who had suffered with all kinds of heart trouble, and she went to the doctors for many years whenever she had these heart spells, as she called them. I said to her, "You should have gone to the veterinarian." She asked why. I said, "Because you have heart worms." So she took her herbs and she never had any more trouble. Now you'll notice here that we call these heart worms or liver flukes or whatever part of the body that they inhabit. It's the name that we hang on the worm. Trichinosis worms or trichinea, they call them. They come from pigs and settle in various parts of your body. They may set in your heart, in your lungs, in your liver. They can even go into your eyes and cause blindness. They can go into your brain and cause headaches. Oftentimes when people say to me, "I've got these terrible headaches," I don't oftentimes say things to people, you know, I don't say, "Oh, my God, you probably have worms." I'm smart enough to hold my peace. If you don't ask me, I'm not going to tell you. But I think to myself, "Well, this poor sucker is probably suffering from worms and doesn't know it." He'll go to the doctor, he'll take aspirin and Tylenol, and he'll take shots, and he'll have tests done. He'll spend thousands and thousands of dollars on diagnostic tests. And when he gets all through, He'll be put on some kind of a regimen. He'll live the rest of his life with some kind of pain. I've seen people with back pain, which is caused by intestinal parasites. And then they go to the doctor, and the doctor cuts out a couple of discs in their back. They're fused discs, and then he's crippled for the rest of his life. His real problem in life was that he had worms. When I was a little kid, my granny knew how to kill those worms, and she'd put this foul-tasting, obnoxious liquid into something that we could drink, you know, like Ovaltine or milk or something that you could take it in. One of the good elixirs for killing worms is called walnut hull tincture. I'll describe that a little later on here in this series on worms. But you just take the walnuts. I went and made about 20 or 25 quarts of it this fall. You just take a quart jar and about 7, 8, 9, 10, or whatever amount of walnuts you can cram into a quart jar, and then fill the jar up with vodka. Yeah, just ordinary, everyday garden variety drinking vodka. Only instead of drinking it today, we're going to pour it in on top of the walnuts. And then I've got a vacuum packing sealer over here, and so I seal the jar shut just like I would if I was canning. And then I put it on the shelf. And about 90 days later, it just turns black. It's blacker than coal. Now, you take that black juice that comes out of there. Actually, it doesn't taste good because now the vodka has absorbed the tannic acid that's in there, whatever the stuff is. I guess it's tannic acid. And it absorbs it. And this stuff is so foul tasting, loathsome to the eye, loathsome to the palate. Yeah, I could understand worms dying. I mean, this stuff really tastes bad. And you put about 10 or 15 or 20 drops of that in a glass of water and drink it down. If you're really tough, you know, some people are really tough, they'll take 10 or 15 drops of it, and they'll just squeeze it out of the dropper right in their mouth, and then take a little water chaser after. Now, that's tough. That's tough. I got to put it in a glass of water, and I got to drink it, you know, about 4 or 5 drops, and then I can get up to 6 or 8 drops, and then I can get up to 10 or 12 or 15 drops. And it takes me about a week to do that, but I'll guarantee you this. That stuff is so foul-tasting, it is so wicked and evil that there isn't anything in your body that can live through being poisoned with black walnut hull tincture. There's probably a few worms that can probably survive it. I shouldn't say that nothing will survive. We'll see as we progress along that garlic is another good elixir for killing these worms. And you do this about 2 or 3 times a year because you're going to get reinfected. Every time you eat lettuce, you can just about bet that one of those little brown men out in the field someplace probably went potty and didn't wash his hands. And if he's infected with worms, you can rest assured that those worms will be on the lettuce that you brought home from Safeway and reinfected yourself. But if you worm yourself about once, twice, or 3 times a year, your health is going to improve very dramatically. All right, we'll talk more about worms next time, right here on The Law Hour. All right, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard 7 days a week around the world on the Internet. For more information about The Law School and Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school and is open to individuals by prearrangement. Now, The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events 7 days a week. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Well, time's up. I got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, and good night, friends.